being a horse again, to do what I want to do, namely to serve Krishna. Here we think, in the material world, freedom means to do whatever my mind and senses dictate to me at any moment. We think that's freedom. Now my material senses tell me to eat this. When I do it, I'm free to eat whatever I want. Animal, vegetable, mineral, dead, live, whatever. I think that's freedom. To serve whatever crazy concoction the mind comes up with. Now the mind says, jump over the cliff. Now I think I'm free. And when I go, sure. I'm free to jump over the cliff. But that's not freedom. It was the mind who told me to jump over the cliff. I was free to serve the mind. Krishna gives us that freedom. But then we're not free to deny the consequences of our activities here. But we land and we get crushed by the rocks below. We think, well, what happened? I thought I was free. But you're not free to put your body back together again. Now you've taken away whatever freedom you have in this material existence by your free will, by your free choice. You just made the wrong decision. So, but in the spiritual world, when our only desire is to serve Krishna, and the Krishna is the reservoir of pleasure, whatever we do is beneficial for ourselves, for Krishna, and for everyone else. So that's real freedom. And Krishna is so kind that he even arranges the material world, spiritual world, in order to fulfill our desire to serve him. Every queen in Dwarka, Krishna is living with her, and Krishna is manifesting a personal form, his personal form, just to satisfy that particular queen. So every form of Krishna in every palace is slightly different to fulfill the desires of the queen. So as the queens want to fulfill Krishna's desires, so Krishna manifests himself in a way to fulfill the desires of everyone, of the living entities who want to serve him. So Krishna is free to do that because that's what he wants to do. A living entity is free to do what he wants, namely to serve Krishna. So that's real freedom. Everything else is just, it's not freedom. Once we're put into the jail cell, we're no longer free. We may think, this is exactly the jail cell I wanted. This is why I did all those criminal activities. That's why I stole, robbed, and killed, did everything else, so I can get this jail cell. And now I'm free to do everything. Anytime I want to walk in, up and down the jail cell, I'm free to do it. So now I'm really free. But actually, we limited our freedom by our criminal activities. And now our so-called freedom is quite limited. We can't choose what to eat, we can't choose where to go, we can't choose... All we can do is imagine that now we're free, that I used my freedom, I went against the law, I went against the justice system, I was completely free. Yes, I was free to put myself in a jail cell and suffer. So I'm certainly free to do that. But real freedom is when I properly utilize my free will in such a way as I actually expand my freedom, so I can actually do what I really want to do, namely to serve Krishna. And why do we want to serve Krishna? As it mentions here, because Krishna is the reservoir of unlimited pleasure. We want unlimited pleasure. We want to merge into a reservoir of unlimited pleasure. But here we're constrained by tasting something, smelling something, hearing something, and we think if I can do that, then I'm very fortunate. If I can get my favorite ice cream and eat it for a few seconds or a few minutes, then I've actually fulfilled my desire. But actually I want unlimited ice cream, forever. And all varieties of flavor, and with the ability to digest it without any consequences. So, the spiritual world, when our senses are Krishnaized, in every form, every pleasure, all the time, forever. And then our real nature is manifested. We serve in the unlimited supreme in a particular way that we want to serve Krishna. So, that says here, discovering the faultiness. Because as soon as we want to be independent of Krishna, as soon as we want to be something other than we are, then we are put into material energy, where we're forced to serve the concoctions which arise out of our, originally out of our desire to be independent of Krishna. We can't be completely independent, therefore we become dependent upon material nature. And that goes on in all the 8,400,000 species of life. We just imagine our freedom while we're completely dependent on the material energy, illusory energy. So when we understand that, that real freedom is to engage in Krishna service, or at least while we engage in Krishna service, it may not seem like real freedom. They're telling me what to do. I'm forced to chant so many rounds a day, or I'm told to chant so many rounds a day. I can't eat everything I want. I can't sleep anywhere I want. I can't say anything. It seems like we're completely restrained. It's like people, they say, why are these people so disciplined? All they think about is Krishna all the time. They just, anytime you ask them a question, the answer is chant Hare Krishna. These people are really limited. They focus themselves so much on Krishna, they're brainwashed. On the other hand, if someone can take a stick and a little ball and focus his whole life in hitting this little ball into a hole with a stick, then he's glorified as a great personality. And they give him so much money, and his name is in all the newspapers, and they make movies about him, because he spent his whole life hitting a little ball into a hole. He became expert at it. And if someone focuses his mind upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, gives all his love and energy to the Supreme, then he's considered a religious fanatic, brainwashed. He could be doing something more significant and important, like hitting a little ball into a hole. So that means people actually want to concentrate. They want to do something which they consider significant, but they have no idea what's actually valuable. Nor can they conceive that God is everything, because they're envious of God. They want to become everything. And if they know that God is already everything, just like if we knew how intelligent Krishna is, that he's in everyone's heart, and from him comes remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness, that he knows past, present, and future. So, how can you compete with someone who knows past, present, and future? You can have a fantastic memory. Someone may be able to memorize everyone's name here in this room right now. But what about their names for the last 3 billion lifetimes of Brahma? Every name they had, including the 8,400,000 species of life. For every living entity here in this room would be difficult enough. What about an old Melbourne? What about in Australia? What about on this planet? What about in all the planets? What about all the universes? Try to compete with that kind of memory. It's not possible. Therefore, if we don't understand Krishna, we don't want to understand Krishna, and then we think by understanding Krishna is very limited. But actually, it's actually unlimited. And everything else, except for seeing things in relation to Krishna, will limit us to different degrees. We may be limited as Lord Brahma and control a universe, or we may become limited as a mouse and try to control a hole in the house. But after all, it's just different degrees of limitation. So real freedom is to be in Krishna consciousness anywhere at any time, and therefore not being limited by our material conceptions, by the material impulses arising from the modes of material nature. Instead, being free to utilize our desire to serve Krishna under all circumstances and enjoy the loving reciprocation with Krishna. That is, the devotee limits itself or itself to serving Krishna, so Krishna limits himself to serving the devotee too, through reciprocation. Krishna doesn't have to become a little baby in the house of Nanda Maharaj, but he wants to, because he wants to experience the love of Nanda Maharaj. And Nanda Maharaj wants to limit himself to becoming the father of Krishna, because he wants to enjoy the happiness of serving Krishna. So both the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotee, they limit themselves, but that makes them unlimited, because that service is unlimited, and that in every respect, the happiness is unlimited, the awareness is unlimited, the amount of service one can render to Krishna is unlimited, and the time one has to serve Krishna is also unlimited. So one actually merges into unlimited freedom to serve Krishna exactly as we want. And Krishna is very kind that he accepts that service exactly the way we want to render it to him. So, I'll stop here. Any questions, comments? Yes.
I get this preposterous thought that, I wanted to enjoy separately from Krishna, and that's why I fell into, and wanted to be like Krishna as well. And that's why I fell into this material world. So, where all these difficulties, it's not that easy to enjoy, basically. So, why did Krishna create another spiritual world, original spiritual world, and where I can become like Krishna and have my own gopis, gopas, I can do those leelas, pastimes, and really become Krishna?
Who's going to take the part of your gopis and gopas?
Krishna can, make those arrangements so that I can really enjoy like Krishna.
But who's gonna sacrifice their lives to help to make you the center of existence?
Yeah.
Why should Krishna sacrifice? Everyone wants to do. That's why we're here in the material world. Everyone wants to be the gopis. Everyone wants to be Krishna, and everyone wants to be the gopis and the gopas. But it doesn't work out like that. There can only be one Krishna. And therefore, everyone, and not only that, but why should Krishna put us into an illusion? Say you're a gopi or whatever, a blade of it, why should you eternally spend your life pretending you're something you're not? And not only that, Krishna's a reservoir of pleasure. How much pleasure do we have? How much are we going to be able to satisfy any gopi or gopi that Krishna creates? It's like Krishna has an ocean of happiness to give people. And we have half a drop. So Krishna is going to create gopis and gopas so we can distribute our half and drop to them.
Freedom to serve Krishna in whatever way we like. But especially in the beginning, we can't serve Krishna how we like. Serve Krishna how he likes. Or serve the...
Well, we're thinking ourselves with this body and that we're the doer. So... when one becomes very advanced, when one becomes liberated from the bodily concept of life, then one realizes that in this world I become an instrument of Krishna. And as I become, Krishna utilizes the present senses and mind and body and words that I'm in within, then as he takes over and takes charge of these things, that's my freedom. Then I come to the spiritual platform of consciousness where I'm free to serve Krishna internally. But externally, it's not our activities. It's not our activities. When we want to do whatever we think we want to do, actually we're doing whatever the body and mind are dictating us. There's no freedom. But when Krishna takes charge and utilizes his body, mind, and words for his service, then I become free from my misidentification with his body, mind, and words. Then I can begin my real life of freedom. Anything else? Yes.
There is people sometimes they say that the living entity can never be free completely because either it's controlled by Maya or either controlled by Krishna. So they find fault in this that just part of, like you said, you're involved, you can only become a machine. So they think this is actually faulty.
Yeah, they think that's their fault.
Yeah.
They don't want to accept reality.
Yeah. It's very uncomfortable for them to think that they are.
Yeah, that's why they're in, that's why we're all in the material world, because it's uncomfortable, because we've come here to be an illusion. Krishna's very kindly supplied the illusion.
Yeah.
It's like you dress up as Frankenstein and you get used to it. You spend your whole life as Frankenstein, but you're not Frankenstein. So you've created a whole other world for yourself, except for the real, and you don't live the actual world you're supposed to be living in.
Guruji, I got one question. So we are in the material world, in the material conception of life. So how we know, so we're doing something is the satisfaction of Krishna?
Well, there's Guru, there's Sadhana Shastra. You find out Krishna's in our heart. He's telling us, giving us remembrance, knowledge, and forgetfulness from within and without. He's telling us what he wants us to do with his body, mind, and words that we have. So we study from without. We hear from without Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra. And then Krishna gives us the intelligence how to understand what Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra are saying from within. But if we forget Guru, Sadhana, and Shastra, and we are not guided from Krishna within, then we won't know anything. Yes?
The living entities in the material world is natural to want to enjoy, which you know, teach everyone how to enjoy, and he's trying and he's getting frustrated. But then, after frustration, the suddenly accepting Krishna is not natural. So, the enjoying part is very natural, but then frustration, but then suddenly part is not natural.
Suddenly bhakti? What's not natural?
No, I mean generally,
people. Everyone wants to enjoy. Do you think anyone wants to suffer? So what's the problem with having a desire to enjoy? We just have to know how to enjoy. In the spiritual world, they know if we want to eat something, we know we put it into the stomach has to receive the food, then we can get the benefit from it. So to know the stomach's supposed to get the food doesn't mean, well, now I know the stomach's supposed to get the food, but we won't give it to the stomach because I don't want to enjoy. No, we give it to the stomach. So we know only when Krishna's happiness, when we feel Krishna's happiness, can we become happy. Because Krishna's the reservoir of happiness. So we know, therefore, my self-interest is to please Krishna. And when we get out of the Bali concept of life and we emerge and please in Krishna, then we fall in love with Krishna and we don't even care about our happiness anymore. We're only caring about Krishna's happiness. But right now, we're only caring about this body's happiness. So we're already selfless serving. We're just selflessly serving the body. Even if it makes me miserable, still I serve the body. Even the body's torturing me, still I serve. I get run over, but just like in Calcutta at Harwich Station, some man was on the track and the train came and ran him over, cut off his leg, cut his body in half. So someone ran by and said, "Can I help you?" He said, "Yes, you have a cigarette?" So even the body is torturing us, we're still trying to serve it. We're such good servants. Thank you very much. Congratulations, my Bhagavatam. Ki Jai. Ki Jai. Ki Jai. Ki Jai.